Why should we trust the Bible more than other scriptures? A bit related to what I said earlier. And also, is not the Bible in conflict with scientific findings? Now, this is a question which occupied me quite a bit because of my work I'm doing as a scientist. And I don't give you now a detailed answer to this, but I take the liberty just to point you to this presentation I gave a couple of weeks ago in Bethesda. And there's also the YouTube link. So if you are interested, you can look at it. But there the question was, in an age of science, is there still a need for God? And that was really a message meant for people who are unbelievers and to help them to take the message of the Bible serious. Questions in relation to the existence of God. Can the universe not be explained without supposing the existence of a creator? That's a bit in relation to what I just mentioned before. And it's so remarkable to see, as you do and I do scientific research, to see the better you understand, the more evident it becomes that you can't explain the universe without supposing a creator. Yeah? It's not that theories which have been developed have just been abundantly confirmed, not at all. We have seen also in the research we are doing that many theories had to be discarded. And the more research we do, the more it points really to the fact that our universe is fine-tuned, which raises the question, who did the fine-tuning? It can only be the Creator, yeah? And already the fact that we can understand things at the most fundamental level shows clearly there must be an intelligence at the first place. And other questions here in relation to the invisibility of God, the hiddenness of God, as it is sometimes referred to, are questions which people have and can easily lead also to conversations. For example, in relation to the hiddenness of God, why God is not intervening. You can ask, well, where should God begin now to intervene? Which evil he should judge immediately? And quickly, people realize then, well, if God is really the God he claims to be, as we find him in the Bible, then he would have to come in judgment very quickly also in relation to things we have done in our lives. So somehow the point that the fact that God is patient, yeah, shows also his love. And here on the bottom, I've put a few more questions important to think about. And as I said earlier, we have gone over them, in particular in Europe with young people from the meetings in Germany and Romania and France and Switzerland. But just to help ourselves to give an answer on this, but the time doesn't permit here now to go into the details. Another important area, the problem of suffering and the problem of evil. This is actually oftentimes the crux of the matter. Very often, questions in relation to these points here are the greatest hindrance for people to really come to the Lord Jesus and take the message serious. But at the same time, these are the questions which make it most easy for us to present the gospel and lead people really to the Lord Jesus and show what he has done in order to answer to the problem of evil and of suffering when he was there on Calvary's cross. I was in Greece earlier this year to talk to college students on a scientific subject. And I was prepared afterwards to get questions on science. I got not a single one. And immediately I got questions on evil and on suffering. How can a loving God allow so much suffering in this world? This was really what occupied the minds of people. And it was nice to then develop the subject in that direction. And here I've put a few more questions in relation to the exclusivity of the Christian faith, which is indeed another important point and something which is not unique for Christianity, but at the end of the day, all religions really have exclusivity in them. Otherwise, if you mix it all together, you lose the essence of everything. So, in particular, questions in relation to the Islam with which we are confronted a lot in Europe, but you are also confronted here in North America, it's important to have some basic knowledge in order to be able to talk with people of that belief system. Oftentimes, there is some interest in general with these people, and of course, our brothers from Egypt are much more familiar with this, but I think it's important that we have also some basic knowledge in relation to this. Now, what I want to do and have been asked to do is to go in a bit more detail in relation to questions about the resurrection, as this is our subject in the morning Bible studies. Now, not many young people are here, but they might look at this afterwards. I wanted just to give a bit more information in relation to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and how we can also explain to people with whom we are in contact and get some help in answering why we think really the resurrection of the Lord Jesus took really place and that it is really fundamental for the Christian faith. So here, first of all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is it a myth or the foundation of faith? And then what is the evidence and what is the best explanation for the existing evidence? And then two more questions, I bring them up later on. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ, indeed, what does it mean? When we talk about it, it is in general about the resurrection, not just life after death in a disembodied form, something like immortality of the soul or a form of reincarnation. That is not at all what we mean, but we really talk about, I put it like that here, the undoing of death, the restoration of a kind of bodily immortality, that the bodies we have in general about the resurrection will rise again, but first of all, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus himself. Bodily resurrection, not just a spiritual resurrection. You see, if it would be about a spiritual resurrection, there would have been no problem whatsoever for the disciples when they preached the glad tidings. But they claimed a bodily resurrection, not just a spiritual resurrection. And in that case, if you talk about a spiritual resurrection, well, even if the body of the Lord Jesus would still be in the tomb, they wouldn't have had a problem. But that is the point, the resurrection of the body. Now, historical reasoning for the resurrection of Jesus Christ consists of two steps. And the first one is, what is the evidence available? And secondly, what is the best explanation for the evidence? Now, we do it now just as one would do it who is, you know, doing some research on a subject. And it's interesting that also from that viewpoint, our belief in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is beautifully confirmed. This is what we call a forensic approach, where it's like a bit, as you read the story of a detective who tries to put the facts correctly together. Yes, it's interesting to really see that what is the evidence, first of all, and then secondly, how it can be explained in the best way.